listening to National Rock Review.
Thanks for taking the time to speak to us on National Rock Review, and really appreciate you speaking to us today. So we've got some questions. First of all, we'd just like to ask, can you tell us a little bit about the band and how you all met?
Okay. Well, we are called the TH75. We met, I think, around about 2001, 2002. And at that time, there used to be a warehouse where there were tons of musicians that, you know, rehearsed in this one warehouse that was kind of split up into different rooms. And in fact, almost everybody, you know, back at that time, you know, everybody had bands. Everybody was, you know, rehearsing at least, you know, two or three nights a week. So it was like every night, you know, from about 8 o'clock to, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, these warehouses were just like going full tilt. And I saw a flyer that Suzanne had put up that had some pretty interesting, you know,
combinations
of influences that, you know, that, you know, really nobody else that I had, you know, was talking to was talking about the Faces, was talking about, you know, I think Chris Whitley was on there. So it was not just, you know, things that were kind of a certain era, but really kind of more of a certain feel.
Right.
So, and I replied to it, and, you know, she came down and brought an acoustic guitar, and it was in my rehearsal space. In fact, it was a space that we used to share with a couple of different bands.
Mm-hmm.
And, but we hit it off, you know, almost immediately. I mean, like, it instantly just started talking about music.
Yeah.
So, and then we were just kind of going back and forth, kind of showing like little bits and pieces of songs and, you know, things that we were trying to, you know, get across. And from there, it just kind of, you know, picked up, and we got some other people to join in. But it's basically been that same feel, that same conversation that we started that day. That's
continued for 15 years. I mean, the bonding point where it was like a, you know, we're not turning back is that I told him there's a guy named James Blood Ulmer, who is another person who is definitely an American treasure and will probably never really be recognized except in small circles. But I feel very strongly about him as an artist, and he's very political, and he's very blues based, but he's also can be very jazzy. You would love him.
Yes.
If you've never heard of him, he's unbelievable. James Blood Ulmer.
Yeah.
So Andrew and I, it was like kind of a eureka moment, because we were like, no way, you know who this person is. And the funny thing is like, back in the day when I was doing this blues thing, James Blood Ulmer was playing at the Museum of Modern Art. I found out a day too late with a string quartet of all things. I mean, it's incredible. And I couldn't believe that I missed it, because he doesn't really play that many shows. He's kind of getting up there in age. But that was a, okay, you're in kind of moment, because very few people know who he is. And it kind of let us know that we were speaking the same language. And then the deciding factor in terms of like kind of the band thing is, well, the original like 6875 Mach 1 is what we call it, was Sanctified.
Right.
All right. And then our idea for it was like, well, why couldn't you take Free and Humble Pie and put a woman in front?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was kind of our blueprint, if you want to call it, for kind of what we wanted to do. Now, I think a lot of people were just like, what are you doing? because we were well regarded as musicians, and everybody loved us here, but we just could not get a following going to save our lives. So we kind of just retooled it. It became 6875 because everybody thought that Sanctified was a gospel type of thing. And it, for us, it did kind of have like a holy. I know I'm like jumping all over the place. I have a tendency to do that. But we retooled it, named it 6875, and social media kind of happened around the same time. It hit a high point. Now, I'm not jumping there, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's kind of linear.
Yeah, well, I mean, we kind of really started back in earnest about 2011.
Yeah.
So, and really, I mean, you know, from the Blueprint, it's less gender specific. It's really kind of more that, you know, it's blending rock and soul, elements of rock and soul.
Well, together. Yeah. I mean, that's
which
true. We're putting a lot in the pot.
Yeah.
And we're putting more in the pot as time goes on. There are very subtle shifts in terms of the sound. The basic fibers don't change, but there's a little more gospel-y, I think, than it used to be.
Yeah, we've probably been listening to a lot of...
Well, that's all right.
Which is not.
That's all right. But what I was going to say was with the help of social media, it's kind of broken open in a global sense, and that's why we're coming to England, because you guys would have never heard about us.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, we just kind of decided if we're going to go for it this time, we're going to go down swinging. So we're using everything that we have in our power to forward the cause and try to just get beyond just America and all that kind of thing and go kind of where we're appreciated.
Yeah.
And of course, there's the great thing that's happening right now is obviously you've got social media at a high point, but you also have a classic rock and soul revival.
Yeah.
And real soul, right?
Yeah.
So
I would say that, but I would just say, you know, just the kind of
not sure.
Just with what's going on with the music industry, they're more. It seems like they're kind of opportunities within the chaos that we didn't have before.
Oh, great!
Because before you kind of had to go through that machine, and right. Now instead of going through that machine, you're literally going straight to people who have an affinity for what you do,
mm-hmm.
rather than mm-hmm. having to wait for an A&R person to take that to a board meeting, and somebody says, okay, well, here's this amount of money that you can. Try to see if this band will catch on in a month, and if they don't catch on, then, you know, we're not going to do that.
Well, perfect example is 10 years ago, Tedeschi Trucks would not be in the position that they are now, okay? So that's how the game has changed in terms of age, image, and St. Paul, and Vintage Trouble, and Rival Sons. All these great bands that are breaking now would not have, what's the word I want? Would not have flowered in the way that they have. I mean, AC/DC and Vintage Trouble are playing together, right? How fantastic is that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Right? That is absolutely fantastic, and they've worked super hard to get there, and those avenues are available to people who are willing to put in the time and know how to plug into the right channels, and we've just been incredibly lucky that we've been able to plug into the right channels this time. I mean, we just did a show with Devin Allman. We're doing a show with Pat Travers. We've got the UK tour coming up in a couple of months. You know, we've got some other things on the books that we're looking at right now. And, you know, we're hoping to maybe do some stuff. The Allman Brothers have a museum in Macon. And we have been approved to be a part of that. They do special events and shows and things like that, fundraisers. So we will probably be doing some things with them later on in the year, which is a phenomenal.
That's a huge honor.
Yeah. I know, it's a complete honor. That's like a virtual high five all the way because I mean, that's right where we need to be.
Yeah, totally.
With those people.
That's great. I think you've answered about 5 questions I had there from one answer.
I told you. What did I tell you?
I was saying lean down my list of questions. Going, right, that's another one I've lost. Okay, so that's cool. So besides 6875 and Sanctified, were you guys in bands prior to being together? Did you, you know, did you have your own bands beforehand? Or you've always been musicians?
Well, I mean, we've always had bands. Suzanne had a duo. It was kind of like a more of a blues based thing, and then I had a band that was kind of more of a, you know, a rock. I guess more
alternative.
Yeah, rock alternative
right.
type of band. And but in terms of, you know, things that, I mean, this is probably the first band where we're actually doing exactly what we want to do. I mean, so kind of like a no compromise type of thing. So we basically you know,
it's our baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
We don't really, I mean, we kind of go through like every song, try to go through everything just to make sure that it's something that we really want to do.
Yeah. And we write all the material. It's all original. We don't do very many covers, but you know, we might be doing a couple down the road. We
might do one for, yeah.
On Tuesday.
Yeah. The Stones are in town on Tuesday.
I've already told you about that.
Yeah, yeah. Susan was telling me.
We're going to, you know, put our stamp on that. But,
or like a tip of a cap.
Yeah, right. Or whatever. Or trip over something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just always been kind of our thing. I mean, we've just been very uber focused on what it should sound like. We have a very specific type of thing that we want to do, and you know, if it's not swinging, it's not happening. So that's kind of the key to the material. It's got to have a groove to it. It's got to swing. And I think that's why people love it so much, is because it reminds them of a lot of things, but it's unique.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
That's what I keep hearing from fans.
Yeah.
People keep saying, it reminds me of this, this, and this, but it's not that. It's unique.
Hmm.
It's, and I mean, you know, you and I are thinking, yeah, well, we just ripped off da-da-da-da-da. I mean, we'll steal from anybody. But the thing that's wonderful that we keep hearing over and over and over at shows is, you know, this sounds like something, and I can't place my finger on it or whatever.
Yeah.
But this is just really, really good stuff. It really talks to me. It really speaks to me.
Yeah.
And I just think that's incredibly important, because I think that's what people are going for this time. I think that it's like, and it's a wider group of age too. Don't you think?
I mean, the
demographics have changed.
Wider group of age, wider group of just geographic.
Everybody.
Yeah, just we have people in Budapest that have, you know, uh-huh, friends with us. We have people,
Brazil,
yeah.
Germany.
Yeah, all over the place.
I mean, all over the place, and this is because of pressing the right buttons on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's really pretty incredible what that's done for us. I know a lot of people just don't like Facebook for various reasons.
Hmm.
We are a success story partially because of Facebook.
Well, I mean, but even more than just Facebook, it's just the fact that on the other side of that is somebody who's open to listening to, you know, giving us a shot, opening to listening to a new band, you know, that they might not have been open to listen to. You know, before it was like you heard new music from your radio, like you know, back in the day, but that's not happening anymore. It's like people learn about bands now from, you know, being online.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, all those things have certainly changed, but I think one of the reasons why they are is because they're tired of hearing manufactured crap. And you hear that over and over and over, and a few years ago, it was a very limited demographic of people like from 45 on. Now we're starting to see people who are like teenagers to 65. And the common root of it is that they all want to feel something. They want to, it's not just that it rocks. The reason that Vintage Trouble is so successful, in my opinion, is because you feel what they're doing.
Yeah.
You really feel it, and you really, and Rival Sons too.
They put a lot of work in what they do.
It's not, what I'm saying is it's not one dimensional. It's working on a lot of different levels. And Tedeschi Trucks too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're working on like the Mad Dogs and Englishmen kind of thing, you know. And I mean, that's what people want these days.
Yeah.
Over and over and over, we're hearing that. So it's great.
Cool. So where did the band name actually come from?
Well, we had, when we started back in 2011, we actually were working, there was another band that I was working with that we kind of borrowed their rhythm section. We borrowed the bass player and the drummer.
Right.
And so we would get together and rehearse, and it would always go, so what are we calling this? And so we started joking around saying, you know, well, this is the 68-75 Rock and Soul Review.
Right.
Yeah, so we were joking around and trying to come up with that. And so when we really got serious and we had shows booked, and so we had the show booked and we had to like, okay, so what is our name? We had to come up with a name. So we were going back and forth, and I think we were torturing each other. And I, you know, I'd send something to Suze, and she'd send me something back, and we, you know, and all the stuff that we came up with was
like gothy,
like super depressing, super heavy. You know,
I mean, it was like wrist slitting kind of thing. Right. Like, are you people Sisters of Mercy or what?
Right.
Because, you know, it didn't reflect anything of what we were trying to do.
Yeah, so, and so at the end of the day, I mean, really, it, that's kind of like the best description for the band, is because it, it really is kind of, I mean, that era is really kind of what inspired us. You know, that there's so much great music in that era. So, I mean, even just, you know, just almost like we were talking about that blueprint.
Yeah.
That describes the blueprint.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're thinking about what was going on in rock and roll and just classic soul. I mean, Stax, what was going on in Memphis, what was going on the West Coast, what was going on in the UK.
Yeah.
I mean, every place had something that was Boston. I mean, it was really a vibrant time for music back then. And I think more than anything, what made it so exciting is that, A, there were so many people trying to push the envelope and not try to be like everyone else. And then, B, audiences were open to, you know, whatever people, I mean, people would go see a Captain Beefheart show and say, hey, this is great. And then they'd turn around and they'd go see Isaac Hayes and they'd say, this is great, you know. And they, you know, so it's like people were open to more things as long as it was quality.
Yeah.
So.
But to bring that back around, I think that's kind of happening now. I think that people that are have intelligent music taste, and I don't mean that in a snobby way. What I mean is that they are open to hearing different things. They're not just limited by one type of taste.
That's true.
That I see more of that. I see more of an openness within the past 4 years because there is so much quality out there right now. Odds are you're going to hear something that's pretty fantastic. I mean, you know, think about it, like J.D. Simo, like Mount Carmel.
Mm-hmm. Lions in the Street.
Lions in the Street from Canada is incredible. I mean, you know, you got Maker, one of our favorite bands out of the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Roscoe Levy and the Southern Slot. And there's a lot of different flavors of things happening. Lynn Jackman is coming out with a new thing. She was in St. Jude. I'm kind of interested in hearing that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's got a new thing coming out pretty soon. But, you know, I mean, and then you got St. Paul who just, like, on Tuesday they're opening for the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
That's an incredible story.
Yeah, I mean, I was just saying exactly the same thing last weekend. I think I'd been to a gig, and I don't think I can remember any year where it's been this good. Like, I've come out of nearly every show this year thinking, you know, that could easily have been a gig of, like, the gig of the year, you know? And I've been to about 50 shows this year, and it's kind of like everyone keeps on blowing my mind. It's, there is so much good music out there at the minute. It is quite mind-blowing, you know?
That's what I said, is that there's more music out right now, I would say, within the past year and a half than there has been in 20 years.
Yeah, totally.
And it's covering a lot of bases.